A friend of mine was telling me her experience at one of the stores on Black Friday. She was standing in the checkout line, and there was another mother also standing in line with her, and she was having a harrowing time with her two kids. And so my friend decided to help this mother out. And she looked at the kids and she said, "Look at that. And there's the security camera." And she told the kids, "Look at that. Santa's watching you." And these kids, she said, their eyes got so big and they stopped. Just stopped. Now, kids, if you're present here, know that that's exactly what Santa does. During Advent, during the rest of the year, we call him Big Brother, but during Advent, it's Santa. When you have readings like this that we read in the gospel reading today, I wonder if sometimes we feel like little children. Feel, well, we got to watch out. God is watching. We don't know when God is going to come. Folks, at one time or another, every generation has experienced some event which makes us think that it's almost the end of the world. So think about the Great Plague, for example. Think about the two big wars. Think about 9/11. Yet here we are, isn't it? So today I don't want to point to some kind of a cosmic camera somewhere and frighten us into divine submission. I don't want to do that. I have a little bit of a fatigue with these kinds of readings over the last few weeks and weekends. Rather, I've decided to focus on the second reading. I think that second reading gives us three ways in which we can prepare adequately for Advent, for Christmas, have a meaningful, purposeful Advent. So here are my three points for today, and here's my first point. This is 1 Thessalonians 3:12. Paul says, "Abound in love for one another and for all." Now, I love this phrase, "abound in love." It's different than saying love one another, or it's even different from saying love even your enemies. No, that's not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying that we should overflow with love, that we should have an abundance of love. And it goes further. He says, increase and abound in love for one another and for all. See, these days particularly, there is a temptation to love people only of our kind, only of our nation, only of our religion. At Christmas, Jesus did not come only for Israel. Jesus embraced the whole world. God sent his only son that the world might be saved, not just Israel. At Christmas, Christ embraced the world. This Advent, we too must do the same. Let us abound in love for one another and for all. Secondly, Paul says, be blameless in holiness before our God. Be blameless in holiness before our God. Now, if there's one thing that we know about God, we know that God is holy. God is all holy. Now, to strive to be holy for God who is all holy, I don't even know what that means. Is it possible? Because God's holiness and our holiness, God's just two different levels, right? Now, in the Old Testament, holiness lay in fulfilling the laws and commandments. There was a measure to holiness. Somebody could know how holy they are based on whether they were following the laws or not. Now Jesus changes that standard. He said there are two commandments by which you fulfill all the laws. Radical love of God and the radical love of neighbor. Two ways in which we can strive to be holy before God. Total, uncompromised, radical love of God and total, uncompromised, radical love of our neighbor. Folks, if this Advent we don't love God just a little more radically, and if this Advent we do not embrace the radical love of our neighbor just a little bit more, then I think we wasted Advent. The only way to be blameless in holiness before our God is radical love. In fact, I've titled this homily, Advent, a Season for Radical Love. And thirdly, Paul says, conduct yourselves to please God. Conduct yourselves to please God. Once again, to conduct ourselves in a way that we please God, that's a tall order. Sometimes, never mind God, it's hard for me to live up to my own expectations. To conduct myself to please God. How can we do that? And I thought much about it. The answer is actually simple, but it took me a little time to get there. I think the answer is Jesus. Jesus's life is a model for anybody who wants to conduct themselves to please God. So in all things, we ask ourselves only three questions. How would Jesus think? How would Jesus talk? How would Jesus act? If we think, talk, and act like Jesus all of Advent, folks, something miraculous will happen. We will not just celebrate the birthday of Jesus. Christ Himself will be reborn through us because we are making Christ alive in our thoughts, our words, our actions. Let us pray that this Advent we don't just prepare to celebrate a birthday. Let us pray that this Christmas we will actually be Christmas. That is the true meaning of Advent. We are not alone. We don't need security cameras, do we? We have the Eucharist. Here, Jesus comes to us and is present to us always. People of God said, Amen.